you ever wish you could see through walls? That sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? Sometimes you might see in movies that people can be invisible and they can see through walls, but they really can't. It's a movie, and many things in movies are not real. But there is someone so powerful that can see through walls, and he can even see inside your mind and your heart. And who is that? That's God. Our memory verse today is found in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7. Who can see your mind? That's God. He had Samuel write these words down, the words that are in our memory verse today. All the things God had Samuel write are found in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel in the Bible. Now, since Samuel wrote down the words of God, you can be sure that everything he wrote is completely true. Do you remember how many books are in the Bible? There are 66. Good for you if you remembered. And what are the two main parts of the Bible? The Old and New Testaments, that's right. Now, the Old Testament begins with God in creation, how he made everything. And then it ends before Jesus is born. The New Testament tells about Jesus' life and what happened after he died on the cross and came alive again. The book of 1 Samuel was written many years before Jesus came to this earth. And what part of the Bible do you think that 1 Samuel is in, the Old or New Testament? It's in the Old Testament because it talks about things that happened a long time before Jesus was born. Our verse for today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7. It says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth." The things that people notice and think are important are not the things that God thinks are important. The other part of the verse says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance." Now, man is talking about people, all people. We look on the outside of other people. That's all we can see. When I look at you, what do I see? I see the things on the outside of your body, your face, your skin, your hair, how tall you are. God doesn't look at people the way you and I do. He sees what people are really like, not just what they look like. The last part of the verse says, "But the Lord looketh on the heart." God sees inside your heart. And when I say heart, I mean the real you. God sees what you're really like. The real you tells your mind what to think. It's the part of you that feels sad or happy and loves or hates. It's the part of you that lives forever when your body dies. No one except the Lord can see the real you. And he calls that your heart. 1 Samuel 16, 7. "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7. Now, when it says man, remember, that's talking about people. You, me, any person. The way you and I look at people is not the way that God looks at people. God sees the real you, your heart. What does God see when he looks at you? If you know Jesus as your Savior, God sees that you're his child. Does he see a heart that has the right attitudes? Remember, God will use you if your heart is right. And we'll be talking about that more today. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God sees that you're separated from him because of your sin. Jesus died on the cross and came alive again, so you would not have to be separated from God. Listen today to our Bible lesson so you can learn more about the wonderful things that Jesus did, and you'll have an opportunity to make the decision to believe in Jesus as your Savior. 1 Samuel 16, 7. "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7. God sees the real you. When you and I look at people, all we see is the outside. We can't see what you're really like, but God can see what you're really like. God sees your heart. And remember, that when I say heart, I mean the real you. You and I look on the outward appearance. What people look like on the outside. Their face, their body, their skin, their eyes, their ears, their hair. But God is not like you or me. You and me only see on the outward appearance, but God sees your heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Your kingdom will not continue. The Lord is seeking a man after his own heart to be king. Samuel spoke those words to King Saul. What do you think God meant? What kind of person would be a man after God's heart? Samuel would soon find out what kind of person God had in mind. As the morning sun rose over the city of Ramah, Samuel prepared to start his day. I'm sure he could not stop thinking about King Saul. It was very sad that the Israelites wanted an earthly king, but Samuel had hoped Saul would do a good job. But when Saul began to disobey God, Samuel got very sad and was grieving over Saul's behavior. Remember what Saul had done? He had only obeyed God part way. He did not completely obey God. And that's like disobedience. Saul's disobedience had brought God's punishment. And the punishment was that the kingdom would be taken away from Saul's family. Saul's sons would not become king after him. Samuel continued to pray for Saul. But things were about to change for Samuel. God had a message for him. Now, God understood Samuel's sadness. God also was grieved over Saul. That means God was hurting in his heart. But now it was time for God's plan for Israel to move ahead. God wanted Samuel to go to Bethlehem and anoint with oil a new king of God's choosing. When people in the Bible were alive, we call that Bible times, they kept liquids in hollow horns. Horns like from animals, like from rams and things like that. When a prophet poured oil on someone's head, it meant that person was chosen for a special job. Samuel was afraid when he heard God's instructions to go and anoint a new king. Samuel asked God, "How can I go? If Saul hears of this, he will kill me." Since Saul had rebelled against God, a change had come over him. Saul was very angry and he would attack anyone who might take away his throne. And that means who might stop him from being king. God told Samuel, take an animal for a sacrifice and invite Jesse's family to come. Saul won't know that the sacrifice is not the only reason for your going. I will show you which son I have chosen. So Samuel took the animal just as God said. He filled a ram's horn with oil and then he made his journey to Bethlehem where Jesse's family lived. The elders of Bethlehem were concerned when they saw Samuel coming to their city. They knew that Samuel was God's prophet, and they thought that maybe he had come to announce God's judgment on them or that a punishment was coming. They must have been very relieved when they heard that Samuel had come to worship the Lord and offer a sacrifice there. Samuel invited Jesse and his sons to come to the sacrifice and the meal that they would have after. As Jesse's 7 older sons came before Samuel, Samuel immediately noticed Eliab. Eliab was Jesse's oldest son, and maybe he was the tallest and most handsome of the sons. Samuel thought, surely this is the one. Eliab looked just like a king, kind of the way that Saul looked. But the Lord told Samuel, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Do you remember that? Does those words sound familiar? That's because it's our memory verse from today. Those are words that God spoke to Samuel. God was teaching Samuel that the way a person looks on the outside isn't the most important thing. A person shouldn't be judged by how he looks. What really matters is his heart attitude toward God. If Jesus is your Savior, God will use you if your heart is right with him. God is the only one who knows your heart. And when I say heart, I mean the real you, your feelings, your thoughts. Maybe you can say a lot of Bible verses about loving other people, but really? Truly? You have mean thoughts about others. Maybe at church you love to sing songs about Jesus, but during the week you don't think about Jesus very much. You might be able to trick your parents or your teachers for a while, but when God looks at your heart, what does he see? Does he see a heart that's disobedient against him? Or does he see a heart that's truly changed? Does he see your heart wanting to obey him and love him more than anything else? When God chooses someone for a special job, he looks at the heart attitude to see if that person truly loves him and wants to obey him. The Bible tells us about a very special way that God wants you to love him. The Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." God wants you to love him in that way, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Do you love God that way? If Jesus is your Savior, God will use you if your heart is right with him. A right heart attitude toward God is really what matters. Samuel was learning the outward appearance doesn't matter so much. Samuel had to be careful to wait for God to choose the new king. So, the first one, Eliab, wasn't it. Jesse's second son came before Samuel. God told Samuel, "Nope, not this one." So, Samuel said, "No, not this one." And then the third, the fourth, the fifth sons came before Samuel. But each time, God said no. Finally, the sixth one came, and then the seventh one passed before Samuel, but God said no to them as well. All of Jesse's sons were fine young men, but Samuel said to Jesse, "God has not chosen any of these to be the next king." God said that he had chosen one of Jesse's sons, but it seemed like none of them were being chosen. Samuel was confused, so he asked the father, Jesse, "Are these all your children?" But Jesse said, "There's still one more. He's the youngest." In those days, the youngest was the least important in the family. Not very important. Jesse may have been thinking, "I don't think God will choose him. He's out tending the sheep." The youngest son was a shepherd. He was out taking care of the sheep. So Samuel said, "Have him brought in. We will not continue with the meal until he comes." Samuel wanted to wait for the youngest son to come in to see him. So a servant went and got the youngest son, and this one was named David. The servant found David in the fields with the sheep. David was a young man, and he was used to hard work. He spent his days outdoors. He was strong. He was ready to protect the sheep from danger. He probably spent a lot of time practicing with his bow and arrow and with his slingshot, his only weapon against attacking animals. When a bear or a lion would come to attack David's sheep, he would use his slingshot to attack the bear or the lion or whatever animal would come to hurt his sheep. At times when the sheep were just resting or just eating grass, David would relax with his musical instrument, and it was called a harp. And it was made up of strings, and you could kind of pull on the strings a little bit, and then they would make a sound. And when you do them in certain orders, they would make a very beautiful song. David would make up songs of praise to the Lord. David must have been very surprised when a servant came and told him, "Your father wants you right away. The man of God, Samuel, is asking for you. They are waiting for you to join them at the feast." David hurried to his father, maybe wondering why it was so important for him to be there. Samuel may have been surprised to see that David was so young. He was handsome, but by now, Samuel knew better than to judge on how he looks on the outside. Samuel was probably thinking, what was David like on the inside? Samuel learned the answer to that question because God said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Why do you think God chose David? What was it? He saw in David's heart. He saw a heart of obedience, a heart after God, a heart that wanted to please God. David's heart pleased God. If Jesus is your Savior, God will use you if your heart is right with him. When you're God's child, you should be different on the inside. We've been talking about being a person after God's heart. So far, we've learned that it means giving God first place in your life, and it means to obey God completely. We'll be learning more about being a person after God's heart later on, too. To be a person after God's heart, you need to have a heart that is right with God. You should want to please him more than anything else. But when you sin, maybe by thinking mean thoughts about others or other things like telling lies or not completely obeying God, when you do those things, your heart is not right with God. When you do something wrong, confess it to him. Tell God that you're truly sorry that you sinned against him and learn from that experience. Learn from it so you can do better next time. Do you let God teach you? Do you listen to what others say and do you learn from them? The most important thing to listen to is to listen to God as he speaks to you from his word, the Bible. As you read the Bible and you let God speak to you through his word, the Bible, then you can see what God wants you to do and remember that God wants you to do it. When you obey God completely, then your heart is right with him. He can use you to carry out the special job that he wants you to do. Remember, God will use you if your heart is right with him. Now, David's heart pleased God, and God was going to use David to be the next king, to lead the Israelites as their king. Samuel took that ram's horn filled with the oil and anointed David as king. That means he poured the oil on David's head, and that was a very special way of saying that God had chosen David for a very special job. David was anointed as the next king of Israel because his heart was right with God. Maybe as David was anointed, Samuel said to him, "You shall be king." Or maybe God told David in his heart. The Bible doesn't tell us how David knew, but somehow he knew that when he was anointed, he was being chosen as the next king. But no one else seemed to know. It was not yet God's time. So as Samuel returned back to his home in Ramah, he completed the job that God had sent him to do. David went back to the fields and took care of his father's sheep once again. His heart was right with God, and when the time came, God would use David in a very special way. If Jesus is your Savior, remember, God will use you if your heart is right with him. A Christian means that Christ lives in you. If you've believed in Jesus, make sure that you have the right heart attitude, because what's on the inside will eventually show up in your actions. A right attitude makes the right actions, but a wrong attitude can make wrong actions. Remember, ask God to look at your heart, the real you, and ask God to show you if there's anything wrong. If there's anything that displeases God, God will show you if there's anything wrong in your heart. And if God shows you something that's wrong, confess that sin to God. When you completely obey God, you'll be a person after God's heart. He'll be able to use you to do great things for him. Ask God to make your heart right with him. Maybe you know that your sin still separates you from God. Perhaps you've never called on Jesus to save you from the punishment of your sin. As God looks at your heart, he sees your sin. You have broken God's laws. The Bible says your sin separates you from God. God is holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He's sinless. But your sin separates you from him. The payment for sin is death. That means separation from God forever. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loves you. He sent his perfect son, the Lord Jesus, to take your punishment for sin so you could be forgiven. Jesus took that punishment as he suffered and died. He gave his blood when he died on the cross. He was making the perfect payment for your sin when he died. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Remission means forgiveness. If Jesus never shed or gave his blood, there'd be no way for you to be forgiven. But Jesus did die and give his blood so you could have your sin forgiven. Jesus was buried in a tomb, but on the third day he rose from the dead, and today he lives in heaven. He's ruling over everything. Would you like to make the decision to call on Jesus and receive him as your Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. And that verse means that if you'll turn away from your sin and call on Jesus by trusting with all your heart that he's paid for your sin, then you can be saved from your sin's punishment. Will you do that today? Will you call on Jesus to save you from the punishment of your sin? If you've never done that and you want to do it now, you can tell Jesus something like this and truly mean it. "Dear Jesus, I have sinned and I am sorry. I believe you died and rose again. I am calling on you to save me from my sin. Please change me on the inside to live your way with your help. In Jesus' name, amen." If you truly do call on Jesus to save you from your sin, he will save you. That's what he says right in his word, the Bible. Don't believe it because I say it. Believe it because God says it in his word, and he does not tell any lies. If you would like to read about David being anointed to be the next king of Israel, you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Well, that's all for this time. See you next time. Bye.